Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in the North Bay and beyond. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. How are you doing? Hope you have power. Hope you've dried out if you ever got wet. We're going to be talking about the flood today. We have returning for third time, I think. We have Adam Parks, a Victorian farmstead who several few years now, 3 years, 4 years, moved into the community market.
It's been 5 years.
Five.
Yeah, we moved in November of 2013.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Time flies.
I know.
Tell us initially, how did you find out what was going on? Were you laying awake at midnight on Tuesday wondering?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there's obviously concern. I mean, I've lived in this area my whole life, a little 20-year break to go do some other things. But my grandparents moved to Sebastopol in 72 and bought the property that we live on now. So I'm third generation to live there. So we've been through a lot of major floods before. Mm-hmm. In 86, when I lived out in Tamales, we lost a pickup truck that washed away off Highway 1, and we found about a quarter of a mile down the river.
Yes. I remember 86 flood. It was really bad.
Yeah. In 92, I think, the water got all the way up to Benedetti's, which is past where our grocery store and butcher shop is now.
That was actually...
Was that 95?
It was December, January of 93, 94.
Okay.
And it got up past Benedetti's to the intersection where Screamin' Mimi's is.
Yeah.
That was the worst one that I recall.
So, yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to flood. We knew the river was going to go over. And, you know, the Laguna de Santa Rosa is... Ostensibly, it's like being at the bottom of a spillway for a dam. Mm-hmm. So when the river crests and floods, that water has to go somewhere, and it goes to Guerneville and it goes to the Laguna. This time it made its way up to Healdsburg as well. And so we knew it was going to flood. It's done it before. It's not hard to predict. We've heard many times, you know, now, oh, how stupid is it to build a business in a floodplain? Yeah, sure. I mean, you live in California too. Sooner or later, you're going to get an earthquake. Mm-hmm. We know these things, but, we had preparations. We had the Barlow development had a plan in place. The buildings are built for what's called flood logs, which are big gates that go on the doorways to prevent water from coming in. And so, yes, it was concerning, but not, you know, we expected that we would weather it fairly well because there was a plan in place.
When did you find out that that's actually not what happened?
As soon as I got down there. I mean, we got
to... So was this Wednesday morning?
Yeah, Wednesday morning. I got down there pretty early. And in the immortal words of the great philosopher Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that happened really early on Wednesday. Morris Street on the east side was already flooded. And the back parking lot... we measured it by how it creeped up the one car that was left there. And there was no doubt it was coming. And, you know, now it's what do we do? You know, what can we do? Mm-hmm. So there was tons of challenges. You do drills. The development had done drills and had a plan in place and everything. But, you know, when it's pouring rain and the water's coming and people can't get there to implement the plan, or you've got new people that, new staff that aren't familiar with the plan or whatever, chaos ensues. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened for us is, we had a lot of chaos.
Yeah. Now, you're inside community market.
Yep.
How far into community market did the water get?
The entire building was flooded. About near as I can tell, and I'm not a flood expert any more so than anybody else. But I was in there pretty consistently from Wednesday morning through Thursday, off and on. I think the highest it got inside the building was about 6 inches. Uh-huh. The problem is that there is a 4-inch lip all the way around the edge of the building, just like your house baseboards or whatever. Mm-hmm. Once it gets over that lip, it hits the drywall.
Right.
And drywall acts like a wick in an oil lamp.
Exactly.
And it just shoots right up the wall. And once you have that, you're screwed. Pardon my French.
I don't know if you remember this incident, but I learned about what happens with drywall when K&L Bistro was vandalized.
Oh, yeah.
This was before the remodel, so it was a number of years ago. And I think it wasn't long, the expansion was already planned, but somebody in the middle of the night plugged up all of the drains, the sink drains, and turned the water on full blast and then left.
Yeah.
And the first person to get there the next morning called Karen and Lucas Martin, who own it.
Sure.
They went running down, of course. And what they didn't realize at first was that the drywall was acting exactly as you say, as a wick. So all of that had to be taken out.
And we're now seeing exactly how far it got. There's drywall's been removed in the store.
Four feet
up all throughout the store.
Uh-huh.
The remediation companies have been hard at work, and so you know the shell of the building will be repaired relatively quickly. I don't know what that means. I've heard estimates from 2 weeks to 2 months.
Mm-hmm. For the shell or for the whole thing?
No, for the shell. The whole thing is a whole nother battle, right? Because here you've got Community Market, which is a, for lack of a better term, an employee-owned cooperative. It's not really a cooperative. Mel's going to kill me for not knowing exactly what it is. But it's a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, everybody wants to know, did you have flood insurance? No, we didn't have flood insurance. It's, $175,000 a year for flood insurance because we're in a floodplain.
Yeah.
That's cost prohibitive. And you hope that the plan that was in place would, be there, and it wasn't. So now we've got to figure out what that looks like. The good news is we've got fantastic support.
Mm-hmm.
Community Market in general, our business, specifically Victorian Farmstead, we have tremendous customers. I playfully call them our meatheads. And they, have been reaching out since the first drops of rain hit. How can we help? And Community Market has that same following. They have another location in Santa Rosa, as many people know.
Of course, the original location.
The original location, yeah.
Actually, not the original location.
Right.
The original business,
which
moved, I think, just once. It moved from Morgan Street a long time ago.
Yeah, that was way before my time.
Yeah, to where it is now, just behind the last record store.
Right. So, we're... we just are in a state of suspended animation. It's frustrating. There's not a lot of physical labor left to do because all the repairs have to be done.
Does it take? Are there environmental things that have to be mitigated? I mean, somebody mentioned that it's basically a hazmat team has to do a bunch of the work.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean when I say that. We've got all kinds of offers for people to come in and how can I come in and help and clean up? And I got a mop and it's so satisfying, so nice to hear and to have people care that much that they would come down and do that. The reality of it is a hazmat situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's permeates everything. It's, I forget what they called it, class 3 water, whatever. It's basically the equivalent of what's in your toilet. And, so it's not, that's why, I was on the news a number of times and you see all the kayakers and people paddleboarding and whatnot.
Right.
I'm like, dude, that's sewage. What are you doing? I didn't like, I was in waders and hip boots and stuff like that. And I had to be there. It has to be sterilized first.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's been aired out and the air scrubbed and the bacteria gone and the drywall replaced and painted and taped and all that stuff that has to happen, then the monumental task of what are we left with?
Mm-hmm.
All the cash register stands had to be thrown out because they were wood.
Register stands?
Yeah, the pieces of equipment
And they had to be thrown out?
Sure, because they're porous. Anything porous
Oh.
Gets tossed.
What about the shelving where products were?
A lot of the shelving is metal. So we had, I can't even tell you how many employees we had in the store that spent hours as the water was coming up, moving stuff as high as we could. We knew we had to get it up 2 feet off the ground was our goal. And for the most part, we did that. The frustration was that the water wasn't just coming from outside. When we realized that we were not going to get our flood logs, that the flood logs for Community Market were stored unbelievably in a unit that was flooded. And they were under 6-7 feet of water and could not be accessed anymore by the time they got to ours. So I took a truck and trailer, and I was fortunate. Donnie at H&M Landscape helped us out a ton. He not only got me loaded up with a load of sandbags, I drove all the way down 116, came back up Lana Road, but Donnie sent his truck back twice with sandbags for the store and for Costa Brown. And, you know, we sandbagged everything as best we could. But the problem was, is that the water was coming from the inside.
It was coming up the drains that were meant to drain.
We have, dozens and dozens of floor drains in that store, and the water was coming up through those. So that's another question is how does that happen, in a flood situation? How is there not a shutoff somewhere to close those drains?
Right.
But, you know, that's all hindsight now. Everybody's a genius today.
Was, the power, you know, electricity and gas
shut down pretty quick.
I did.
Yeah.
And is that something that happens location specific, or is that something where PG&E steps in?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. I know that when the Barlow was being built, there was a big issue about that all the utilities were going to be underground. You'll notice down there that there's no overlying power lines. So all the service for everything is underground. So I don't know whether PG&E flips a switch and says, okay, the whole area is flooded. We're shutting it down until we can access our service. I know for us, we shut our breakers down right away because we wanted to protect our equipment.
And not to mention, I worried about the people that I saw early on waiting. I thought, God, is there a problem with electricity? Are they going to get shocked?
That's funny. That never even occurred to me. Probably should have. Our maintenance guy shut everything down pretty quickly just because we didn't want to blow. You know, I didn't care about me getting electrocuted. I just didn't want to lose our 8-foot display case. That was more important.
You're replaceable. This display case is harder.
The meat's got to be displayed.
And as far as product goes, I do want to tell you that yesterday I went into Pacific Market and was getting a special bone, special bones for my dogs. And I thanked them for giving you some cooler space.
They've been
You were able to get stuff.
Yeah, Scott and I apologize. I can't remember the owner's name. No, I think it's Vanesh.
Okay.
And I probably butchered that, pardon the pun, but they no questions asked, a very direct competitor, very friendly, but they very graciously gave us refrigerated space, and because I'm such a small part of Community Market, I was able to, we got my truck in twice before the parking lot was too deep that I didn't want to drive the truck in. And then my nephew Andres and I wheeled the last load out in little roller carts in about, the sidewalk at that point was about 2 feet deep with water. And we got him across the street to the whatever that maker place is across the street where my truck was parked, and got the last of our stuff out. So I felt it really felt awful because here's all this stuff that's going to get absolutely obliterated in Community Market, and here I am selfishly pulling every little steak I can off the shelf.
You have to deal with your business.
You do, and it's tragic, but we were very fortunate. We got all our product out, and our equipment's pretty much all stainless steel and whatnot, so we, our tangible losses are not super significant. The loss of revenue, and the unknown, and my biggest concern right now, Laura's and my biggest concern, is our employees and just making sure that
how
we
can keep. How many employees do you have?
We have 4 full-time guys, 2 butchers, and 2 farmer's market guys. The farmer's market guys, we're fortunate also that we do a lot of farmer's markets still, and so we do have some revenue coming in from that. And our farmers market people have been awesome of supporting us this weekend while we were trying to figure out what it looks like for us. And we're now in the process of, you know, looking at every option as to where do we cut meat tomorrow. I've got orders to fill. I've got farmers markets to prepare for. We're desperately trying to add farmers markets, particularly locally here in Sonoma County.
Are you going to be able to get into Sebastopol?
I don't know. I talked to the lady today, and
Carla
she's
Rosen.
Yeah, and she said she would be talking to their board. I'm very hopeful.
Yes.
Even just as an emergency,
sure.
1 month exception would be awesome.
Well, we did lose one meat vendor.
Right.
When Heather, and I don't, do you know how Heather's Meats is doing?
I don't. I haven't
talked
to her in a long time.
They're right there on the corner of Sanford and Hall.
Right.
So I've been wondering if it was flooded. But I know she left the Sebastopol Farmers Market to reorganize her business.
Sure.
So I felt like there was, okay, that's an opening.
Yeah,
for you.
No, if there's any board members out there listening, I would be eternally grateful. We have, and the cool thing is that I think we bring a lot to the farmers market also, because I have so many people that relied on us at Community Market for their weekly meat. Mm. They would happily adjust and come to the Sunday farmers market. So, you know, we're not coming in empty handed. We can offer quite
a really
few people
point.
That would come in and shop at your farmers market mm-hmm. if we're there. So hopefully that helps.
Excellent point. We're going to take a little musical break and we'll be right back. And we're going to go into some detail about Adam's business.
Mean old Abbott, coming to weep and moan, coming to leave my baby and my happy home.
Yeah, when the levee breaks, huh? As you said, Adam, we certainly didn't have it as bad as New Orleans has had it.
Right, right.
Anyway. Let's go back to the history of Victorian farmsteading.
Sure.
Remember when you started? And one thing I'm curious about, for a long time, you had the chop shop there.
Uh-huh.
Any thought of reopening that during this period?
God, yeah, if only it were that easy. So the challenge is that in that first 5 years, our business is basically broken into two five-year segments right now. And in that first 5 years when we were selling off the farm, turned out we eventually, the county came knocking and told us we couldn't do that anymore.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Or I'd
so,
forgotten that.
Yeah, no, it's all right. So yes and no. Does the possibility exist that we can revisit that with the county? Things have changed and whatnot. Maybe, but the reality of it is that our business has really grown.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we can do anything for a short period of time, mm-hmm. but, we take care of a lot of people now. A lot of people mm-hmm. count on us. And so, I need a space that we can actually properly butcher ourselves mm-hmm. and get things out to the farmers markets. We just started shipping, and so we can ship all over the Western United States now at a reasonable price.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, trying to manage all those different spokes off the main hub that's Victorian Farmstead, and now to not have our bricks and mortar production facility is pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any possibilities for where you might be able to butcher?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been, I've been looking since yesterday. So,
and it's
a weekend. So, yeah, you know, the people have been super gracious and
what about the old Santa Rosa Meat and Poultry?
That is a, you know, I'm got to call in to the people that may or may not own that as of right now. I'm not really sure. It was sold recently.
Yes. And I know who,
so do
the,
I,
the,
we
yes,
won't talk
we both
about
do.
That because I don't want to.
We don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I was told about it about a month ago, and seems like there's some possibilities there.
So, yeah, and the other place that I am desperately trying to get a lead on, if anybody has it, please call me. So right across from the what's now GNC Auto Body on Petaluma Avenue, there's a blue building there called that's right now has West County Tow on it, I think. the old tow yard. So way back in the day when I was a kid, that was a butcher shop.
I remember when it was a butcher shop.
Albini's. Albini's.
Absolutely. I remember that.
So I'm trying to find out who, because the building is abandoned and the phone number doesn't work or anything. But I have a few leads, but I'm trying to figure out if there's anything viable in there. Mm-hmm. My biggest needs are refrigerated and freezer storage space. I mean, mm-hmm. that's step one for us. We can cut meat any place that the county will let us, mm-hmm. as far as inspection goes, because we're not USDA certified. We're not. We don't have to be state certified. We just have to have the county approve it.
Now, why don't you have to be? Why don't you have to be state certified?
Because I'm not butchering for other people.
Okay.
So as long as all of the meat that I acquire, whether it's whole animal, primals, whatever, as long as all that was slaughtered and butchered under USDA inspection, which it is, then my butcher shop only needs to be health department approved, lack of a better term.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yep.
Tell us about when you started Victorian Farmstead.
We started back in 2010. It's been a while now. And so we thought we had a really brilliant idea for how to get local meat out to our customers. I was raised on a ranch out in Tamales, and sheep, mostly sheep, some cattle, a few pigs, that kind of thing. My wife and I, my wife Laura, who is my business partner and life partner, and she is the glue that is keeping all this together right now. Our kids, we lived out in Stockton, and
you had just moved.
Yeah,
you moved back here,
right? And part of us moving back here was we had to feed everybody, and so we raised some meat chickens. She's an island girl. She's from Key West, Florida, and had no idea what I meant when I said meat chickens versus egg chickens, and so we started raising some animals to fill our freezer, and that's when we kind of had the idea that maybe we could get these incredible local meats that are raised in Marin, Sonoma, Napa counties out to the consumer in a better way. Mm-hmm. And long story short, farmers markets were our first vehicle of doing that. Shortly after that, we started our meat CSA, which is now called the Vic Farms Meat Boxes. Mm-hmm. You were one of our first subscribers way back in the day.
I learned a lot during that.
Yeah, way
I learned
back in
a lot.
The day. And yeah, so it's evolved, and we tried for a couple of years to pencil out a our own space in the Barlow, and it was just too cost prohibitive for a business of our size. And so I had met Mel Minton, the general manager of Community Market, at a couple of business meetings, and I found her and begged her to carve me out a little kiosk inside the store. Mm-hmm. And they were very interested in doing meat in Sebastopol, and so she did. Unfortunately, I had told her that all I needed was about the size of a photo mat that they used to have in the drugstore parking lots,
oh,
and
yeah.
That's exactly what she built me.
And so, it's really tiny.
Yeah, but we've made it work, and mm-hmm. It has been fantastic. It has grown our business.
I bet it's been really good for them too.
I hope so. I think so. She's Mel in particular, but Community Market in general is a fantastic partner for us. Mm-hmm. They have been super supportive mm-hmm. of us, as I hope we have been for them. And so it's one of the more synergistic relationships, business wise, that I've ever mm-hmm. had. So that makes us all the more devastating. We're super fortunate in that we just at the first of the year put meat in the Santa Rosa store, which they've never had before.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've kind of gone through the initial trial and error, and the people freaking out over seeing meat in the Santa Rosa stores, that kind of thing is kind of settled down a little bit. So
you'd almost think that would be more likely to happen in Sebastopol.
Well, it did.
When
we opened in Sebastopol, even though this store was totally different than the store in Santa Rosa, I remember very specifically one guy coming up to me and telling me that we needed a black curtain like they have in a porn shop to hide the meat counter from everybody so he didn't have to look at it as he walked by. And another woman rounding the corner, and literally, and my family will tell you, I do not use the word literally unless I mean literally, she turned and ran screaming out the door of the store never to return. There's pushback because, you know, people don't associate Community Market, or didn't back then. Now they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of that. I mean, I think we've turned people's heads, and even the staunch vegans don't mind us as much anymore.
Good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. And when you first started, one of the things I remember is you had a lot of egg chickens on the ranch.
Well, we had a lot of meat birds.
I think I remember a big tub of eggs and water running over them.
Sure. I guess it's relatively speaking. At our peak, I think we had a couple hundred laying hens.
That's a lot to me.
Yeah, sure.
There's six chickens that live next door to me. So a couple hundred's a lot.
Yes, we had a couple hundred at one time. We don't raise anything for production anymore on our farm. We've kind of grown to the size where we have a fantastic network of local producers that we rely on to raise everything for us.
Okay.
So we've got two different farms that raise our eggs for us. We sell around 250 to 300 dozen a week now.
Oh.
We move a few eggs.
And do you sell them there at the meat counter?
Yeah, we have them both unrefrigerated on top of the meat case, and then we had them in the perishables refrigerator. We had our own little section there called the grab and go,
packaged
meat inside the store.
Yes.
And then we sell them at all our farmers markets. Mm-hmm. We have them at Andy's and Marina Meats in San Francisco and a few other places.
Mm-hmm. And so when you first started, you were also raising all the meat, correct? Initially.
Yeah, we raised a lot. Laura really took that on, my wife, and she handled all the farming practices for our first, I think, 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly, we grew to the size where we used a local beef rancher for all our beef because I wasn't raising any beef on the property out in Sebastopol. We tried a few different pig ranchers before settling on Pete Langley at Langley Farms, who's been raising our pork, I think, since 2012.
Okay, and where's Langley?
Pete Langley, his main place is out on Middle Two Rock Road.
Okay,
he's got a few different places, but Pete's been a pig rancher around here for a long time, and his pork is second to none. There's so many local lambs. We've got a number of local ranches that help out with the lamb. And now all our meat chickens are raised by Big Bluff Ranch, which is just outside of kind of Red Bluff Chico area.
Oh, okay.
In the foothills up there. Uh-huh. And they do an amazing job. They're pastured from the time they're 3 days old. And it's quite an operation.
Mm-hmm. And you were making a lot of sausage?
Yeah, that's still kind of... kind of a big thing for us. Mm-hmm. It's always been a thing. I like to cook myself. And so being able to play around with flavor profiles and sausage is a great medium for doing that. We're super fortunate right now. He's been with me with us for 6-7 months now. Cliff is a new butcher with us and counterman, and he has 25, 30 years in the restaurant industry. And so he's a fantastic chef on as well as everything else he does. And so we're just now starting to break into, or we were starting to break into some more value-added products. We have a really amazing meatloaf, and when he presented it to me, I was just shaking my head because it's got everything except the kitchen sink in it. Olives and mushrooms and bacon and this, that, and the other thing. And I was looking at him going, it's just too much. Nobody's going to buy this. It's too complicated. And we can't keep it in.
Interesting.
Yeah, it flies off the shelf. Part of that is my fault because I take it home for my family to eat.
Are you making merguez yet?
We have merguez, yeah. I don't make it myself. We have Sonoma County Meat Company, which is our primal butcher.
Okay.
They make it for me with our lamb.
Their recipe?
Their recipe.
Do you know where their recipe comes from?
I do not. I'm guessing you because you're asking me that question.
Yeah. It comes from... Ryan used to work at Willowside Meats.
Sure.
And I used to have Don.
Uh-huh.
Don a few times was willing to make my merguez for me for a couple of years. One time he made 2,000 merguez about the size of my thumb. And then for my daughter's wedding, again, he made about 400 merguez.
Uh-huh.
And when Ryan left, I think Ryan was the one making it at least some of the time. He used the recipe. And it's like, it's okay. I'm flattered, Ryan.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about
it's,
it.
But they do a great job for us.
It's my favorite sausage in the world. I love merguez.
Yeah, they're a great partner. Sonoma County Meat Company, Ryan and Janine are great partners of ours. They do all our primal butchering.
What does that mean?
So they take the whole animals and they break them into large primals for us.
Okay.
And then my guys and I, Tristan and Cliff and I do the final butchering.
I see.
Into retail ready cuts, or what the advantage to having primal butchering done is that then I can take a pork butt and I can decide what I want to do with it, mm-hmm. as opposed to having it already made into a roast and now I'm, you know, I that's what I've got.
Right.
And
at the same time, you don't have to have space the size of two photo mats.
Right.
Butcher whole animals. Yeah.
So that's been a huge advantage to us, and mm-hmm. it's nice that, you know, because they're such a efficient production facility at Sonoma County Meat Company, that I can say take 50 pounds of my pork and make me these two sausages, mm-hmm. And save that production time that we have in our little shop for other stuff. We do a lamb merguez that lamb kofta that Laura came up with when she was running the shop. Mm-hmm. We had a little year and a half period where I had a partner, and we bought Terra Firma Farms in Petaluma and ran that business for 2 years. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was 2013 to 15 or 14 to 16. I can't remember. My brain's a little muddled right now.
That was an extremely stressful time for me. I'm not surprised I didn't. But I was seriously overworked.
Yeah, it was short, but I learned a ton. And mm-hmm. Laura ran the butcher shop back then, and she took it to a whole new level from where I had it. Because when I was running it, it was, you know, trying to do too many things at once. Mm-hmm. And also, it was brand new.
Now, who owns Terra Firma now?
You're going to put me on the spot. He owns Good Earth.
That's okay. That's
the
okay.
owner of Good Earth, the godfather organic movement in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, yeah. I knew it was no longer the people who initially started it, but I missed the part of mm-hmm. you being there in the middle. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there when the transition happened between Tara and Craig Smith and the new owners. Mm-hmm. So it was great, good experience, and taught us a lot about what we needed to do with Victorian Farmstead. And then mm-hmm. when I came back and was running Victorian Farmstead full time, we took those lessons, and that's how we've gotten to kind of where we are today.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you a question, and you sort of already answered it. And that is, you know, the local butcher in movement
uh-huh.
has really expanded since you started.
Sure.
We've got Thistle Meats mm-hmm. down in Petaluma, Sonoma County Meat Company, and Journeyman Meats in Hillsburg. Am I leaving anyone out?
Probably, but that's all right.
Probably.
There's a lot of us.
So I'm just wondering, I would assume that it's not been competition for you, but rather has created a growing market for all of you. Is that an accurate observation?
I think so. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I guess if we really looked at it, we're direct competition with my butcher counter is direct competition with Sonoma County Meat Company's butcher counter. We're about the same size. They have mm-hmm. a huge production facility behind them, mm-hmm. But our counter rooms are about the same size. Mm-hmm. I don't really think of it in those contexts. I mm-hmm. steal ideas from him all the time. I go in there and get my jerky while I'm waiting for my truck to be loaded, and I look in his case and, you know,
oh,
that's
a good idea.
That's a great idea. I'll take it. There is nothing new under the sun.
No. Yes, absolutely.
So I don't think he faults me for that, and I don't know how much he comes in and looks at my case, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't bother me one bit. I'd be flattered if he took anything out of my case and implemented it in his shop. And I think that goes, you know, that's how I learned to be a butcher was Dave Budworth, who's a legendary butcher in San Francisco and a good friend. Long before we were we opened our butcher shop, he let me stodge in his butcher shop in San Francisco for a couple days, and then came down and helped me open Victorian Farmstead in the grocery store. And just because he wanted to see another butcher mm-hmm. who cared, you know, succeed. And I think that's kind of how this industry is when you're small, artisan, mm-hmm. trying to do things the right way, put the customer first, be transparent about where the meat comes from mm-hmm. and who's raising it and how it's being fed. You know, your customers are going to care more about you. Your competition is going to care more about you. It's really hard to get mad at somebody that's trying to do it the right way.
Absolutely. It's like when one restaurant opens in a town and it's successful, and then another restaurant opens really nearby and it's successful. It doesn't divide the customer base. It actually increases
sure.
business for everybody. And I've sort of felt that way about the butchery movement in Sonoma County, something I've really welcomed.
It's funny. I use that example back in the day. I used it more as I called it the one bar rule with farmers markets. It is so incredibly frustrating to go to a farmers market and see 50 vegetable farmers that their stalls look exactly the same. Everybody stacks their carrots the same way, and the broccoli stack the same way, and blah, blah, blah. And the market manager will only allow one meat vendor. I am, you know, I'm always been of the opinion, I bring 10 meat vendors and just let me compete. I think we do a pretty good job with what we do, but the customer has to know that this is where they go to get their meat, and then they get choice. When you only have one meat vendor, if I don't like that meat vendor for whatever reason, I'm not going to come get my meat there.
Or maybe one meat vendor, they offer these 10 things. Another meat vendor might offer
you
some
can
different
do it.
Things.
You can, yeah, you can totally do it. We, and that's, you know, we, I think we frustrated a lot of people when we first started out. We were one of the first vendors at a farmer's market to offer fresh meat. Most everybody prior to us, at least
frozen.
In this area, was doing frozen out of coolers, and it was white wrapped and you couldn't tell what it was. And so people didn't really think to go to farmer's markets for their meat unless they knew the actual vendor. So I, you know, I love the idea of having multiple meat vendors at a farmer's market.
And dairy vendors too, please.
Yeah.
You know, so most of them don't. I know that the Santa Rosa market, Santa Rosa Original, that's now at Marquess Springs, Strauss attends that one.
Yep.
And that just makes me so happy.
Yeah. No, we, our biggest markets
that we do. I wish we'd see more of that.
Our biggest, our most successful markets, I should say, that we do have multiple meat vendors.
It's a good idea. I think that's a really good point. We're going to hear a little more music and be right back with more talk with Adam Parks here on Mouthful. Yes, rain, rain, rain. It's predicted for several days this week, but the river is down, and the prediction, no one is predicting 5 inches, 12 inches, 20 inches, nothing like that.
I think we're out of the flood stage for a minute.
Yeah, I've seen predictions of like half an inch.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be okay.
Yep.
Just going back to touch a little bit on the history of Victorian Farmstead.
Sure.
Christmas tree farm for a time.
Yeah, and that was
for a long time.
For a long time. I can't remember how long it was a Christmas tree farm since the turn of the century, I know.
Yeah.
And when my grandfather retired from the Air Force in 72 and bought the farm, it was a full-blown Christmas tree farm, and that was his retirement vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it was run until he and grandma retired, and then my parents took it over. From 92 until we got there in 2009. And then Laura and I took it over and ran it until I think this was our fifth season that we didn't
not
since we've had it.
It.
Yeah.
Do you still have people showing up? Looking?
Yeah. Well, I have people that we have people that drive in and insist that they bought it there last year. And it's been 5 years. So it happens every year. But I will say that the best part of that is I get people that come up to me even just the other day. I mean, here we are in February, now March, but just the other day, somebody came up to me and was telling me what great memories they have of getting their, in fact, it's the guy that that's doing the remediation at the store.
Oh.
And he's the boss of all the people that are cleaning the store, was telling me that he can remember getting his tree there and what great memories they have. And so that's really awesome.
Over the years, I got a lot of my Christmas trees there.
I miss it 30 days a year. The rest of it, not a bit.
Let's go back to the Barlow.
Sure.
And the floods. And I'm going to ask you a question that might not be fair. And that's okay. I'm just wondering what you know about other businesses. Who has been? I know that Village Bakery was hit really hard. They've laid off 60 people.
Sure.
And they have no idea when they're going to reopen.
Pick one. Doesn't matter which, okay. and honestly, it doesn't matter which one. We had a tenants meeting yesterday, mm-hmm. For a couple hours, and the first half of which was just people telling their stories.
Okay, how's the farmer's wife?
Anybody from Zazu East.
So all the ones on the ground level is
5 feet
it?
Under. 5 feet underwater.
Okay.
Everything from Zazu East is devastated.
Okay. So there were clothing shops. There was a kitchenware store.
Yep.
Couple wineries.
Yep. The wine tasting rooms. There was a Mexican place.
Miramar Estates. El Barrio.
Yep. So the sushi place that had been there 4 months since they took over from Vignette.
And the ice cream place.
Yep.
So all those.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, the water was deep enough to move double door freezers that were tilted upside down because the water was so deep.
Uh-huh.
We were talking earlier about, you know, we both have a fondness for New Orleans and what they went through with Katrina. And obviously I'm well aware this is nothing like what, mm-hmm. you know, you deal with in a Katrina situation. But in that little pocket of our community and what I think Guerneville must feel like
in Monterio and
whatnot,
Duncan's Mill.
It's that devastating because, once you're flooded, you're flooded. It doesn't matter what happens, 2 miles away. We're fortunate in that it was a small pocket and we have resources that are immediately available. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's living in the Superdome for 6 months. But
right.
That said, it's still... the farmer's wife is a great example. I mean, here's a couple that, built this business the same way we did out of farmers markets and developing a clientele and scrimping and saving and begging and borrowing and finally being able to open a bricks and mortar space in the most expensive property there is in Sebastopol to mm-hmm. open a retail outlet. And how long she been there? 6 months, three
Not
months,
long.
4 months,
Not
whatever,
long.
But it's gone. And you either start over or you give up. And I can't speak to what anybody else is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're fortunate we have farmers markets to lean on while mm-hmm. we figure it out. But anybody that knows me will tell you that I probably won't give up.
Yeah. Do you know how Zazu is doing? They've been posting on Facebook mostly about the cleanup process,
sure.
and getting food out and drawing off money from the safe,
right?
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Did they have anything to say about anticipating when they might be able to reopen?
No. Okay. I've talked to John and Dusky more in the last 4 days than I have in the last 6 months, and mm-hmm. We're 200 yards away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually both so busy running our businesses that we don't
sure.
talk a whole lot unless we're at some industry event. I love both of them.
They're wonderful.
They're great and so good for the community. It is so heartwarming to see all the work that they did during the fires that we all did, but mm-hmm. that they were kind of the face of all
they
the work that was done.
They,
they fed people for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're feeling some of that love coming mm-hmm. back.
Well, I know that people from K&L Bistro mm-hmm. volunteered and went down to help them, which
yeah.
warmed my heart.
No, I mean, I had those stories, and those are the great stories, right? Those are, mm-hmm. what we look for on the evening news is please show me something good. And we just today, Andre and I went down to pick up some equipment that I needed. And this lady's walking around. I think her name was Kelly. And she had moved to town 3 months ago or something. And she's asking me if I'm with the store and with the cleanup and stuff. And very suspicious, right? Because you don't know who's looking to red tag something
sure.
or steal something or whatever. And so I'm like, yes, can I help you? And she's like, I just felt compelled to come down and help. So I'm wondering if there's anything I can do. And, you what do you say? You try not to cry and
sure.
you, try to make sure that you, thank you so much. There's nothing to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't. What John and Dusky do and how soon or whether they're able to open and whatnot, their biggest concern, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I think it's all of our concern, is our employees and our
absolutely.
Our families are fine. Mm-hmm. we've got our livelihood at stake. But if you were dumb enough to open your own business and be your own boss, you probably have a plan. You've been down this road before
right.
one way or another. And so we'll adapt to this and we'll figure it out. And like I said, we've got fantastic customers and supporters and whatnot that will help us get over the hump. And they do too. the newer businesses, the smaller businesses, those are the ones that are, you know, that are really tragic, because it's, you know, do you have the willpower to do it again?
Yeah. And the ripple effect is enormous. I know that this is a very, very small thing, but a young man I know, and who I just happened to be having dinner with him and his mother on Wednesday before anything was really known in detail mm-hmm. yet. He was very excited because he was starting a new job. They lost their home in the fires
uh-huh.
and they were in Parker Hill
mm-hmm.
and they're living in Sebastopol in a friend's house for probably 3 years. And he was hit. He wasn't here for the fires. He was away at college, but it hit him pretty hard, and he's moved back here. He was starting a new job at Village Bakery.
Yeah. No, there's you know, those stories are super easy to find right now, and you know what I'm confident in is somebody's going to hear this on the radio tonight and find out who that kid is and offer him a job, because that's how this community yeah. responds to these kind of things.
That's a great point. And people can always send me an email, and we're going to give all the contact information like we do at the just before we go to our final song. And that leads me to what I want to talk about next, which is, I know that you have an online store.
Uh-huh.
And other than going to the farmers markets that you attend, how can people help you right now? How can people support the business?
So, like I mentioned earlier, we're really lucky in that we do have this network of farmers markets, mm-hmm. and they're all listed on the website. They go as far south as San Jose, as far as east as Moraga. We've got a new one in San Ramon starting up the first part of May. We have shelf space. We have product in at Community Market in Santa Rosa on Mendocino. We have an online store. One of the things that's been really helpful in the last couple of days is we've had a number of customers that have bought gift certificates from us.
What a nice thing.
And we offered a 10% bonus. So if you buy a $250 gift certificate, you get $25 more than what you bought. But what that does is it gives us a little bit of a cash infusion, and you can use that down the road, to buy meat, which not only keeps our meat flowing, mm-hmm. pardon the pun, but it's the cash today, the meat tomorrow kind of thing mm-hmm. really helps out. So we've had a lot of success with that. And then we do have a GoFundMe page, which I think a lot of the businesses down there do. We really hesitated. Laura and I had, you know, a lot of talks about that over the last couple of days as to, you know, did we want to go down that road? And the reality of it is we have a lot of people that wanted to help, mm-hmm. but are on the East Coast or down south
sure.
or whatever, and they're just not going to be able to buy meat from us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was at our customer's request, and that money will be used to keep everybody employed until we figure out what we're going
nice.
To do. And then it will also be used in the event that we need to temporarily move to another location,
mm-hmm.
Buy equipment that we don't have, that we lost in the flood, you know, that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Those are super supportive.
Mm-hmm. What about getting a meat box?
Sure, we do. So when you
and
talk
you
about,
said you might even do some delivery.
Yeah, well, locally. I got guys with time.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So yeah, we're gonna. You know, I'm always about looking for the silver lining and lemons out of lemonade and all that nonsense. So one of the things that we have always wanted to do from my time at Terra Firma was do home delivery. And the problem with doing home delivery is you have to have enough deliveries in a given area to make it worthwhile.
Sure.
Now I've got guys with time on their hands, and we've got a lot of orders to put out, and people can't come to us to get it. So we're going to hopefully build a home delivery, at least in the Sebastopol, Santa Rosa, Petaluma triangle,
mm-hmm.
I call it. I don't know if you call it a triangle, but
in that
area, mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to deliver up into the hills above Sonoma Mountain or anything like
sure.
that, but we're going to dip our toe into that. We do ship anywhere in the Western United States mm-hmm. through GSO. It's $25 for overnight shipping, free if you spend $150, and all that can be ordered on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had referenced the Vic Farm meat boxes. Mm-hmm. Those are basically like a meat CSA.
Right.
And we have a number of different boxes and sizes and frequencies and whatnot. It's pretty, all the details are on the website.
And the website is it Vic Farmstead Meats?
Vic Farm Meats.
Vic Farm Meats.
Yeah.
.com, of course.
Yeah, two M's in the middle and an S at the end.
Okay.
.com.
And Is that the best way to contact you, or do you want to give any email or phone number?
You are welcome to contact me any way you want. My phone number is 707-332-4605.
That's 707-332-4605.
Yep. And the email address is my name, Adam, at the website, vicfarmmeats.com.
Okay, that's Adam, A-D-A-M, at vicfarmmeats.com.
Yeah.
And on that note, we are out of time. Thank you so much. You just like responded instantly when I invited you to be on Mouthful, and I think you've given really, really great information, and I wish you all the best, and we will stay in touch.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's somewhat cathartic for me, too, to be able to, you know, get this off my chest and talk about it, and that always helps, and, you know, the outpouring of support we've gotten has been great, and I'm sure this will do nothing but help that. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, it will be up as a podcast in the next day or so.
Awesome.
And you are welcome to snag it and put it on your website
you
as a podcast.
I will.
You can do it. Well, thank you so much, and good luck to you, and good luck to everybody at the Barlow. We'll be talking with more people from the Barlow and other areas that have lost businesses when I can get them into the studio. You take care of yourself. Stay warm and dry. Eat some Vic Farm meats and meet me back here next week for another episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB Radio 91. Have a great week.